Fastline Auctions, the ultimate destination for online farm equipment auctions. Looking to list equipment? Fastline Auctions knows farmers, and farmers have trusted Fastline for their equipment needs for over 45 years. With unmatched digital reach and direct-to-farmer catalogs, they can find the right buyer for your equipment. Not to mention, they have the industry's lowest commission rates. If you're looking for equipment to buy, you can bid with confidence. No buyer premiums, no reserves, just integrity. Fastline Auctions, your trusted platform for hassle-free, cost-effective farm equipment auctions. Visit Fastline.com for more information. That's Fastline.com.
Stories behind the ag brands we love and the ag brands we love to hate. What color is your tractor? With Chrissy Wozniak.
Hi, I'm Chrissy Wozniak, and welcome to What Color is Your Tractor? Many of our guests on What Color is Your Tractor are from companies with a long, rich history, and in some cases, even span centuries. Today, we're looking forward. The innovation and technology happening in the industry is really mind-blowing. And to think of the evolution of ag since Deere & Company purchased the Waterloo Gasoline Engine Company back in 1918, it truly is astounding. Today, we're watching the birth of companies that once again are revolutionizing the ag industry with the goal of growing more food with fewer resources. Solectrac has become the first American company to commercialize electric tractors with a growing network of dealers across the country. From Tryon, Georgia, I would like to welcome Glenn Easel, Solectrac's Regional Sales Director for the South and Central U.S. Thank you so much for joining me today, Glenn.
Thank you for having me, Chrissy. I really look forward to speaking to you about our Solectrac products.
Thank you. So let's start out by talking about how Solectrac was started. Where was the idea born and who was involved?
Well, our founder is a gentleman from California, California native, named Steve Happelrath. And Steve is an engineer, obviously. And back about 20 years ago, Steve decided he wanted to build an electric car. And he did so. And in doing that, he discovered pretty quickly, 20 years ago, obviously, the battery technology was nowhere near what it is today. And he discovered that to have enough batteries to actually run that car any distance, the weight was just going to be phenomenal. And so weight for an automobile, obviously, is detrimental. While he was actually at a show, he noticed across the aisle, there was a gentleman over there with a tractor that was adding a weight bracket to it. And that caught his eye, so he questioned him, and he said, well, you know, tractors need additional weight to hold the tractor back down if you're using the front end loader. So light bulb went off in Steve's mind, obviously, and he said, okay, tractors need weight, so why don't I look at building electric tractors? So that's where he refocused and started looking at tractors. That was probably 15 years or so years ago. And Steve was successful in his vision, started building electric tractors at that point. And from then on, it's been a growing dream of Steve's that has materialized, and that's what's brought us to Solectrac today. The details, obviously, step by step, Steve started originally building tractors a few at a time each year and carrying them to the ag show there in California. It's called World Ag Expo, and was showing his products. He would sell some, go home and build some more. He and his family, back in 2012, they decided that they were going to take a step of faith. They stepped out and started actually focusing on the electric tractor business. His family as a whole started working with him in securing different grants and so forth that they could find that were available, which were very few in the beginning, I'm sure. But Steve had a dream, and that dream has developed into where we are today. In 2021, which obviously was just a couple of years ago, our parent company recognized what Steve had been doing and where he was. And our parent company is a company called Ideanomics. They're in, out of the Northeast. And so Steve and his family partnered with them. That helped him bring the tractors to more of a position to where he had, instead of just having a select few models that he could sell each year, he was able to have a stockpile of units that he was able to draw from and sell. He actually began marketing the tractors then on the internet. And so it grew from there. In 2022, SelectTrac bought Steve's company. Steve still remains with us as our founder, and obviously he's still an engineer, and he is also our chief innovation officer with the company. So Steve and his family still work with SelectTrac, and that brings us to where we are today. We're a company now that we're able to distribute tractors throughout the U.S. We have a distribution center, assembly plant distribution center there in California where our corporate office is. Then we also have one on the East Coast in Denton, North Carolina that distributes for the East Coast.
Wow, that's a great story. And you also have a great story that really adds to this incredible team that you work with. And so in 2021, or not in 2021, but was it 20 years ago, two gentlemen?
Yeah, 20 years
ago. 20 years ago, yeah. Two gentlemen, Russ Jennings and Mark Eubanks, asked you to partner with them to build a company named Branson Tractor. So can you tell me that story from your history?
I'd be happy to. Those were two very good friends of mine. We had actually met through a group called the Optimist Organization. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's a great organization here in the U.S. and Canada. But we'd met through that and different type businesses all together, all three of us. But we've become friends, and they started the company in the beginning. And I, as all new companies, it was a struggle for them in the very beginning. And I worked with them a little bit. As a silent partner, not a partner, but as on the side, I worked with them a little bit with while I had my own business going. And then I sold my business. And when I sold my business, Mark and Russ came to me and asked me if I would be interested in coming to work for them for about 90 days. They said, you know, you've got some experience that we need to start a national marketing campaign. And we need to set up some retail financing for our dealers that we're setting up. So I agreed to do that. And after about 60 days, we were through. So, you know, I thanked them and told them I really had enjoyed it and so forth, but I had completed the task, so I'd move on. And at that point, they asked me, said, would you be interested in becoming a part of the tractor company? And quite honestly, up until that point, I had never even been on a tractor.
Wow, no way.
Totally separate business altogether, so. I enjoyed it immensely. Enjoyed the people in this industry. It's this industry that we're in is some people would say it's a large industry, but it's not really when you look at the overall picture. And everybody knows each. If you've been in it, you know you made friends with everyone. You may be competitors, but you're friends. And I enjoyed that part of this business. So I welcomed the opportunity to join them. And we become successful in building the Branson tractor line throughout the U.S. and Canada. After a few years, our manufacturer that we were buying the tractors from actually approached us and wanted to purchase the company. not that we were ready to really sell the company, but we realized, you know, that was the best for all of us at that point. So we did. And I moved on then to one of the partners, Russ Jennings, and I opened up an implement company. We were selling implements throughout the Southeast and Northeast, and we did that for a little while. And then the opportunity opened for me to go to Mahindra. And at Mahindra, it was a different world altogether. Same type of product, but much larger company. Mahindra being one of the largest tractor manufacturers in the world. when you put the whole world picture, not in the U.S., but in the world. And I learned a lot about this business from the people there at Mahindra. It was very, very good time for us. We had a great team at Mahindra. We had a great leader, and we were able to make a lot of progress in distributing those products throughout the U.S. and Canada. Probably the most enjoyable time in my career was spent at Mahindra with those people. Wow. Made some great friends, met some great dealers, and they're still friends today. So I've been thankful for all of that.
Yeah, and the history of Mahindra is really unique. So for those who don't know, it was started in 1948 in India by brothers K.C. Mahindra and J.C. Mahindra. And it's not the typical American green, red, and blue story. So I think you were so fortunate to bring this to the table in your new position. What did you learn there at Mahindra that helped you craft what SelectTrack needs today?
Well, Mahindra, for those that don't know much about the company, as you mentioned, it's not a new company. It's pretty old. And they actually began back during World War II. They were assembling the Willis Jeeps for the Allied forces. Obviously, the Jeeps were built here in the U.S. and they were shipped to India, where they were assembled and distributed. And that's what got the Mahindra brothers actually into the quote unquote manufacturing business, I think, at that time. And then it developed into what it is today. Obviously, the automobile business is huge for them also. But the tractor business has been, India is the number one country in the world for tractors. There's more tractors sold there than anywhere. And US being number two, of course. And with Mahindra, I was able to see a lot of things developed that I hadn't seen with the smaller companies I had been with in the past. It became very apparent that a lot of companies, you look at different types of companies. Some companies look at being a wholesale-driven company, simply going out and finding people that will buy your tractor, and that's considered being a wholesale-driven company. Then there's those that look at being a retail-driven company, which is where we all really want to be. By being a retail-driven company, we know that if we help our dealers retail tractors, then they're going to reorder tractors. So being a retail-driven company is key to us. And then down the road, obviously, as you grow and become larger, you start looking at being a market share-driven company. But right now, we here at SelectTrack, we're looking at being retail driven. We want to help our dealers be successful. If they're successful, then we know we're going to be successful. That's the same theory that we were taught at Mahindra when we were there. And that's what helped us grow actually to the number three tractor sales in the U.S. at that time. So that was huge for us.
Wow. And with that distinguished career, why did you come out of retirement? You were with traditional diesel tractors your whole career. Why did you make this change and take this step?
It's quite an interesting story, really. Our president at Mahindra at the time I was with Mahindra, he left Mahindra, and he was contacted by this group of investors I was speaking of, Ideanomics, our parent company. And he was asked if he would join them and help develop the electric tractor here in the U.S. As you mentioned early on, it's the first in North America of its type. It's a new product. It's not just a new product, but it's a whole new technology. And when Money Iyer, who is the gentleman that I'm talking about, he is our CEO here at SelectTrack. He contacted me and asked me if I would be interested in coming out and seeing the electric tractor. And I thanked him for it a couple of times when he called. And I just didn't know, for sure that I wanted to leave retirement for a totally new product. It was great with Branson starting from the ground floor up, but I didn't know if I wanted to go through all that again. And he finally convinced me that, no, you should fly out here and at least see the tractor, and said, if nothing else, we'll go have dinner, and talk about old times. So I did. I agreed to do it. And when I got out to California, I was able to get on the tractor. It was nothing near what I was expecting when we were discussing an electric tractor. This tractor is phenomenal. I was so impressed with it. Not only with what the tractor would do, but what as far as the mechanics, the working of the tractor and everything, but also I was impressed with the fact that this is a tractor that in the future, my children, grandchildren, and now great-grandchildren, actually, you know, it's going to be part of what we're able to do today that will help them in the future as far as the ecological aspects of everything. This tractor, not just our tractor, but any of the tractors that are of this type are not only strong and can do tremendous things, but they can work right alongside the diesel tractors, do everything that they do. But at the same time, we can make a difference in the future of what our country, what our world for that matter, we can help make it a healthier future for our children. It's going to be cleaner, obviously. We can talk about all of that if you want. But the company's mission statement actually was one of the things that caught my eye, you know, and Selectrac's mission is to lead the transition to zero emissions, regenerative agricultural and utility operations with the best in class of technology for a safer, cleaner, and healthier future. That's something that when I thought about my career, where I had been, and what I might could do to help the future, my children, my grandchildren, like I mentioned, it really helped. It really made me realize, Glenn, you want to be a part of this. Help get it off the ground. I don't know how many years I'm going to remain working, but right now I'm enjoying it. And as long as I can enjoy it and make a difference, then that's what I want to do.
Yeah, that's a great legacy for your family and for your life. And I know there are a lot of buzzwords about sustainability and ag and a lot of bandwagons people jump on. But when it comes down to it, we have to take care of this earth, right? And it's great that you're working with a company for a company that is really trying to put boots on the ground and solve some of these issues.
It is. And we understand we're not going to replace all combustible engines. That's not our intent. Mm-hmm. We know we're not going to do that. But you know what? For every one of our tractors that we do put out there, it makes a little bit of difference. And that's what we want. Make all the difference we can.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about the tractor itself. How long has the team been developing the tractor? You know, how has the progression gone and how long have they been for sale?
The tractor as we know it today and as we market it is about a 3-year project.
Okay.
Steve actually traveled to India and he found our partner in India that we partner with today. The company in India ships us the tractor here with no engine. I mean, it's the exact same tractor as what you would see out there on any farm or any dealer's lot today. Obviously, most of what we're selling right now is the small compact tractor. And so they ship it to us and we add the battery and the electric motors to it here. The difference in what we're offering versus the typical tractor that you see out in the fields today are on the farms. We have a tractor that is equal to a 25 or 30 horsepower diesel tractor that we offer. It's called the E25.
Wow.
The E25 that we offer, when we say equal to, we're talking about lift capacities. We're talking about the ability to what you can type implements you can utilize on the tractor and everything. Everything that we do with this tractor is the same type of thing that size implement, front end loader, backhoe, and all that you typically would see on a 25 or a 30 horsepower diesel tractor. The difference is that, and anyone that has had any experience with electric motors, whether it's an EV, automobile, truck, or whatever, now with the tractor, the torque is instant. Okay. Whereas with a diesel or a gasoline-powered engine, you have to get the RPMs up. You have to run them up to 2,000 or 3,000 or even better before that tractor is really ready to function the way you would want to use it. With electric, like ours is, the torque's instant. So meaning the moment you start, the tractor's ready, you know, at full speed as far as what you can do with it. So we have a little stronger performance from that aspect. Obviously, one of the other things that we offer that is we're so much more efficient than what a combustible engine would be. We were actually, I think it was in November of 2021, if I'm not mistaken, Iowa State University reached out to us and they wanted to do a cost comparison of electric tractor versus the diesel tractor. And so we provided them with the information and a unit that they used, and they did their comparisons. And at that time, in their findings, they decided that the average price for a gallon of diesel fuel across the U.S. was $4 a gallon. They also concluded that the average cost per kilowatt hour in the U.S. was 20 cents a kilowatt. You know, obviously some areas it's more, some areas it's less, but they said that was what they used as the average price. So using those numbers, they compared the two units, and they came up with the conclusion that to operate our tractor, the electric tractor, the cost per hour of operation for that tractor was 74 cents an hour.
Wow.
In comparison to the diesel tractor, and this was fuel cost only, the cost to operate the diesel unit was $5.28. They also said that does not include the fact that with the diesel unit, you have to have oil changes and oil filter changes and so forth. So they said you would have to calculate that into it. They said about 15% of the cost per hour would be what they estimated the cost for that would be. So having said all of that, obviously you can tell that the cost to operate the electric tractor is significantly less to operate than what the diesel version would be. So that's something we're really proud of.
I guess, yeah. And with it being electric, what is the runtime, and then how long does it take to charge?
The electric tractor that we're offering today, obviously, it's going to depend on what you're utilizing the tractor for. We have a lot of nurseries that are using the tractor to pull their nursery carts with. Those tractors are being used 8 to 10 hours a day. We have people that are using the front end loaders, moving dirt or rock or whatever. Those tractors, typically today, you're going to see those tractors running 6 to 8 hours. Now, if you put an implement in the ground, when I say that, something like a tiller, or if you put a rotary cutter on the back of it, something of that nature, that's going to use up more energy than the front end loader or whatever would. And so you're gonna utilize anywhere from 5 to 6 hours. A tiller probably would take a little less time because of the fact it is in the ground. Right. Rotary cutter is probably 4 to 5 hours, depending on what size rotary cutter you're using, obviously. And then the tiller probably about 4 hours. And then you can take the tractor, which on our size tractor, keep in mind, is the small compact that the homeowners use them. Typically, those people aren't on their tractors all day long anyway. So this is usually sufficient time for them. Now, the unique part about our tractors, we don't have to have a special charger. You bring your tractor to the barn, to the house, or in some cases, we have some customers that have solar power plants on their farms that they use it. And that way, they don't have any cost in recharging the tractor. But you can charge the tractor plugging it into just a normal 110-15 current household outlet. It will charge overnight if it's all the way down. Mm-hmm. We also have a plug that comes with it that you can plug into 220 if you have it available. And that will cut it down to about 6 hours. You don't want to charge these batteries too fast, because it's like any battery, the slower they're charged, you know, the more the stronger the charge is and the longer it's going to last. We're looking at a fast charge, but with a size tractor, I don't really think it's that necessary because, as I said, we have I have a lot of dealers that tell me, for instance, that they have people that bring their, you know, their tractors in to have them serviced that they've sold in the past, the combustible engine tractors. And a lot of times they won't have but 200 or 300 hours on them in a year, if that many. So when you think about that, that's if it's 200 hours, you know, you're not having to charge the tractor that much at all. So it's pretty significant that the fact that you can just plug it into the outlet, you don't have to have a special charger, it's ready to go again the next day.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now we'll go through your different models. And then if you'll, for each one, just kind of give the highlights of that model. So we'll start with the E25G gear.
The E25G gear is equivalent to a 25 or 35 horsepower tractor, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. The gear unit, basically it has three ranges, which most tractors this size would have, a low, medium, and high. And then it also has three ranges for the RPMs, which will speed the tractor up in each range. So if you're in low range, you have three more speeds. If you're in medium, you have three. And if you're in high, you have three. So it's pretty unique in that fact that the tractor really will run faster than most people realize. At the same time, you can put it in low. And this tractor, I've had people tell me in the past that they love to run a tiller extremely slow. And a lot of times that tiller, it tills the ground so much better the slower the tractor is moving. So with our hydrostat unit, you can run that tiller at full speed, but at the same time, the tractor can just barely creep along. Now with the gear tractor, it's a little different because it is mechanical PTO. But having said that, the PTO on the mechanical tractor running bush hogs and things of that nature works really well. Also with the gear tractor, it's something that we see quite often in parts of the country. People want to focus on the hydrostat unit because that's what they're more accustomed to, and then there are other parts where they want the gear unit. So whether you want hydrostat or gear, which the next model that we had on our list was the hydrostat, we have both options. The hydrostat will actually be available for shipment in bulk. We have a few units now, but the main supply will be here at the end of this quarter. So we're looking forward to that. The hydrostat units, obviously, if people want to run a belly mower or something of that nature, they do have a mid-mount PTO also. But the unique part about it, what we're doing is we're taking an engine out that has hundreds of movable parts in it, and we're adding one 22 kilowatt battery, and we're adding two electric motors, and then we're adding what we call a battery management system. So we're putting four items in place of hundreds. Huh. And the electric motors that we're putting in, they've been used for nearly 100 years in some aspects, and forklifts and other type things like that. So they're pretty much non-maintenance. The battery obviously is non-maintenance. The only thing that we have that would require really any services from time to time would be the battery management system, because it has fuses and things of that nature in it that you might have to, you know, do some repair to at some point in time. So we have something that's unique in that we're taking out hundreds of parts and we're adding back four. Now, other than that, the tractors are exactly what people are accustomed to using. You still have the front end loader, and you still have the three-point hitch and the PTO that are all hydraulically driven. So we have a hydraulic pump, just like every tractor has, but instead of being powered by diesel or gasoline engine, it's being powered by an electric motor. So the electric motor runs the hydraulic pump that pushes all the hydraulic fluids through the tractor. If you want a backhoe, we have a backhoe that's available. Works very well, actually. I've used one quite a bit. And so as far as getting on the tractor and what the tractor will do, the types of applications you might use it for, whether it's the front end loader, the backhoe, or the three-point, It's a category 1 3-point, which is what most people are accustomed to seeing on that size tractor for their implements. It'll fit most any implement out there that any other tractor will use. And then the front end loader is a universal quick attach, so that you can add a pair of pallet forks to it, a bale spear or something of that nature. It will work with a grapple. A lot of people now like grapples on them, so you can add the third function in the grapple to it if you want to. So these two tractors, whether it's the G25 gear or the G25 hydrostat, they're very similar. The only difference, and those people, as I said, that are accustomed to using a hydrostat product, they usually want to stay with that. Whereas those that are accustomed to using the gear, they want to stay with that. Thus, we offer both, so that we've got whichever the consumer wants in that from that aspect of it. Either.
Yeah, that's great. And then what about the E25 backhoe? What are some highlights of that?
The backhoe is really heavy duty made. Our backhoe and our front end loaders are made here in the U.S. by a company out in Kansas, called KMW. So they're well-known quality made backhoes, heavy duty. The backhoe that goes on this E25 tractor is 6.5 foot digging depth. We chose to go with the backhoe that has a seat on the rear of the tractor rather than using the single seat that flips around for various reasons. It's very sturdy. Tractors today, they would never know the difference, except for the noise. The backhoe performs just exactly like it would on any other tractor.
Yeah, that's great. And then you have another option to the EUT Plus Narrow. Tell me about that one.
We do have, obviously, being our company being headquarters being in California, mm-hmm. We are actually right in the middle of wine country out there in Windsor, California. They're close to Santa Rosa. So there's all kind of vineyards around. And this E70 that we have is a narrow tractor, or N70 is a narrow tractor that is used mainly in those wineries out there. It's narrow enough that it can go up through the rolls and pull. They're pulling a disc harrow behind it. And it goes through those roads very well. It's very popular now that we've started introducing it. We've actually just made some design changes to it, and we have a backlog of orders because production has been off while we made all these changes. So we've got a backlog of orders for them. We're trying to get caught up now, and we should have these tractors ready to ship, hopefully, from what I'm hearing now, no later than the first of the year, hopefully sooner. Also, we're starting to see from our dealers here in the East Coast, some of those dealers are located in areas where there's some wineries and orchards and things of that nature. So we're starting to get some requests in this part of the country. But so far, we just haven't been able to produce them fast enough. We really haven't brought any of them east, but we're hoping to be able to do that after the first of the year.
Yeah, that sounds like a good problem to have. And how does the sticker price compare with traditional tractors?
You can look at the E25, for instance. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like every manufacturer, we have different versions. We have different size loaders, or you can buy it with or without a backhoe, those type of things. But price of the tractor itself compared to an average price diesel tractor, depending on what manufacturer you're looking at, we're probably going to be somewhere around 15 to 20% higher. Mm-hmm. However, as I told you earlier, when you look at the cost of the operation of the tractor, you can actually recover your investment based on those numbers. The difference in the prices of the tractors, you can recover the investment in about 400 hours of usage, which a lot of people in 1 year, they would recover. And then from then on, it's money saved that you're saving. So it's It's not quite what people would expect as far as the difference in the cost. Most people are expecting it to be probably a little higher, but we've been able to run some programs that we're running today that have brought that cost down significantly.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
We're very pleased with that.
Yeah, I guess. And are there any myths about EVs that you'd like to clear up? I'm sure you hear a lot of feedback.
We do hear a lot.
And
there are some myths, obviously, that you hear about EVs more, mainly about the automobile and truck industry, because so many people in the U.S. and Canada today aren't even aware that there is an electric tractor yet.
Right.
So we're trying to change that, obviously. We are a little different. I mean, you know, you hear all the stories about the different things that happen with the automobiles and the trucks. And I'm sure that, you know, that those things have happened, some of them. But it's odd that you hear about one incident with one of those, and there may be 20 with a combustible engine, but you never hear about that anymore. I tell people sometimes I feel like I know how Henry Ford felt when he introduced the Model T, because I know he got a lot of kickback back then, and we get that in the EV industry, and that's fine. But I've been very pleased and surprised 2 years ago when we started with this project, or when I started with it, let me rephrase that. You would go to a farm show with this product, and you'd have more attention on our tractor probably than anything around it, simply because it was brand new, nobody had heard of it and everything. And out of, say, 20 people that would come by our booth, there would be 10 people or so that would really have interest in, I've never heard of this, I'd like to know more about it. And you'd talk with them and explain it to them. And then maybe there'd be five more people that, I'm not sure, I don't really know much about that tractor. I don't know if I want to know much about it. You know, it's electric and that type of thing. And then there were five people that, you know, they're just like, there's no way I'd ever have electric, you know.
Yeah.
You know that scenario. So that was the first year. And then I noticed last year, when we would go to those same shows, the narrative had changed to where there was three people that, oh, there's no way I'd have that in my yard, on my farm or in my pasture or wherever, you know. And then this year we have people coming, I've heard about the electric tractor. Is this it? I want to see it.
Wow. So
my whole point is that in just the 2 years, the narrative has really changed. And I see this going forward. As I said in the beginning, this tractor is not for everyone, but there's a group of people out there that it is the perfect fit for. We're starting to see, obviously, municipalities. We're starting to see the educational institutions, especially. More people are starting to go electric. That's also with handheld tools and electric mowers and all. You're seeing it more and more every day. It's becoming more of a norm than what it was, obviously. And with each year it's growing and growing. So the market is coming. It's better today than it was yesterday or the day before. And I see it growing and growing and growing. But I don't think it'll ever be for everyone. Mm-hmm. But it will be for a lot more people than it is today.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's key for people to understand that it isn't for everyone. It's not for every application. It's not for every farm. And I guess that one of the biggest arguments that I hear in my travels and at farm shows, and I always go to the FIRA USA show in California, and that's where kind of a lot of these things are launched, that where the charging is coming from is the problem, whether it's the sun, the wind, or fossil fuel. All of them provide their own challenges. So how do you answer that question when somebody says, you know, there are barriers to adoption because of where the electricity is coming from to charge it?
And you know, when we see today, when we listen to what our news media is telling us, a lot of it's fact, a lot of it I'm not sure about. Mm-hmm. But we know, and I'll be the first to tell you, if everything today was converted to EV, our infrastructure is not there, nowhere near. We all know that.
Yeah.
What it will be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I don't know. Neither does anyone else in reality. Probably people that are a lot smarter than I am have a good idea. But as this industry grows, I think that the infrastructure will grow with it. I mean, you go places today that, and you'll see charging stations that you never would have thought about, whether it's a hotel or a convenience store. You know, used to, you had to have a special app that would show you, well, 20 miles from here, there's a charging station, you know, or whatever. Now you can just about, I don't know about where you, they're in Florida, but up here, there's a lot of convenience stores up and down the interstate that's got charging stations everywhere, hotels now. I mean, we're starting to see them everywhere. So the infrastructure is growing. One of the myths that, you know, we all fight with is, okay, these batteries, where do they come from? What are you going to do with them when they're no longer of use and so forth?
Right.
Our batteries in our tractors are not the same battery you see in the automobiles and trucks. We have what's called a lithium iron phosphate battery,
mm-hmm.
which is a little different in the fact that it's not as flammable as they are. In fact, the flash point's 2,000 degrees, and our batteries are 99% recycled.
Wow!
So it's something that is a little different, but we all get put into that same category, obviously, and I guess in that at this point we can expect that. But I'm sure as we grow and the knowledge and all of the whole industry gets out and people begin to realize more and more about what's out there and what's really the reality and what isn't, then hopefully they'll accept it a little better. But we do have those myths that we have to battle with, but that's nothing different. We do our due diligence. We do our findings. We keep presenting it, and more and more people are beginning to realize that, you know, this is not that terrible thing that we thought it was. This is really something that could be more health as far as your health goes. You know, the noise of the electric tractors, anywhere from 30 to 40 decibels less than what a diesel engine is, depending on what type of engine you're looking at. Obviously, it doesn't put out the pollutants in the air that you get. We're seeing a lot of our organic farmers that are starting to look at it. People that have barns with animals in them, whether it be, you know, horses, cows, or whatever, are beginning to see the advantage of the electric tractor. Even our dairy farms, because of the low noise, they're beginning to see that, you know, this is a better tractor to be used there. Mm-hmm. So people are starting to see and hear and realize there is an application where this is the right choice. And that market is growing. And as we develop, hopefully we'll continue to develop that market and we'll be able to make that difference in this world that we want to make. Not just the fact that we've got a product that will perform as well, but we got a product that's much healthier for you and your family in the future.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I find it interesting traveling throughout North America and learning about different states, California, where, you know, you're located, or not physically, but the company is located here in Georgia. Sure. But California has some unique challenges. Not only does the state provide nearly a third of the country's vegetables, but 2/3 of fruit and nuts. And it's called the breadbasket of the United States for that reason. But factors like water shortages, fires, difficult government policy and regulation make it challenging not only to farm, but also to manufacture. So what led the company to decide to focus on California ag and conduct business in California?
Well, as I said in the beginning, our founder, Steve, mm-hmm. is from California, obviously.
Right.
Well, he tells this story, and I'm sure I won't tell it 100% correct, but I think you'll get the gist of it. He was born and raised around the Los Angeles area. And a lot of us, if you've ever visited Los Angeles, the air quality there is not what we would like to see it in our cities, obviously. I'll leave it at that. And Steve wanted to make a difference. And that's kind of what led him as an engineer. He thought, you know, if I can make a difference, if I can come up with something that will help alleviate that pollution to some degree, or hopefully down the road, if it's not in my lifetime, totally, that would be wonderful. So I think that's what really set Steve on his path. Again, I may not be telling the story 100% correct, but that's the gist of it, I think. So he went forward from that point, and he found that he could develop this product. And as he began to develop it in living in California, as you mentioned, a lot of the fruit, a lot of the food crops, the nuts, the vegetables, everything's grown there. And those people out there realized that, you know, with electric, I'm not going through here and spreading all those contaminants. I'm not putting those contaminants into the ground every year. And I've got better quality. I've got cleaner. The air's cleaner. The contaminants are not in my ground. Are they being spread on my vegetables or nuts or trees or grapes or whatever? So that they begin to catch on to the fact that there is a better way. California is ahead of the game in this than most states. But what we have seen just in recent, as I told you, things have changed so much in the last 2 years. That movement has started east, and we're seeing it more and more in states now, Colorado, Texas, Wisconsin. There's other states, but those are a few that just come to mind. And so that we're beginning to see that there is a movement out there to help us make a difference, make a change, so that, as I said in the beginning, my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, hopefully the future for them, they won't have those air quality issues that we were talking about that Steve was raised in. And I think that's been one of his major goals. He's been very successful.
Yeah. The success is spreading for sure. You've had some prestigious awards that you've won recently. Do you want to talk about some of those?
We have, again, in California, we were recently at the World Ag Expo, and we received some of one of the top 10 innovative products for the year and all. And there's been a lot of different awards, and I don't have a list of those in front of me. We could certainly provide that for you, but there have been a lot of different awards that Steve's been presented, and not just Steve, but also our company. The fact that, we are trying to make a difference, and we have made a difference. And it's getting to the point that difference is growing throughout the country. And that's one of the things we're proud of and looking forward to continuing doing that.
Yeah, that's amazing. So who is using your tractors, and where are they being used? Is it mainly in California right now?
Oh, no. No, California is definitely, being from California, our corporate office, it all began there. So there are more tractors there currently. But the movement has come east. As I mentioned, we now have a distribution center in North Carolina. We're setting dealers up across the U.S. So we're beginning to see, we thought in the beginning that our primary consumer that we would be probably focusing on would be what we call hobby farmers, people that have, 5, 10, 15 acres of land, and that has proven to be true, because this is the perfect tractor for them. They can keep their land manicured and do the things they want to with it, with our tractor, just like they could any other. So that's definitely been a good consumer for us. Then we also have found, as I mentioned, some that we really didn't think about in the equine industry, for instance. They love it because they can go into their barns, low noise, doesn't scare the horses, and it doesn't put the pollutants out inside the barn. I recently actually did a demo for a university that has an equestrian team, and they have a coliseum that they have their events in when the different schools come in and have their competition. They love the tractor because they could run in there raking their arena, and there was no pollutants put out, no exhaust or anything like that. Plus, the noise level was very low. Mm-hmm. And the young lady that was actually the one that does the raking of the arena, she was just thrilled to death. She says, this tractor does every bit as good as the one we've been using. So, and she says, you know, the noise said I can actually have a conversation while I'm working. So it's, there's been things like that. And then we've also found landscapers because they can go into neighborhoods with low noise and working without disturbing everyone. So there's been others like that. As I mentioned, also the nurseries, they find that they can run our tractors and with a lot less cost and actually pull more wagons, do more work with them than they were doing with some of the others. So, So these are some markets that were surprises to us. Very good surprises, actually.
Yeah, I guess.
So as we go through and as we become, believe it or not, every show we go to, we still see a lot of people. Oh, I didn't know there was an electric tractor. I didn't know this existed. I hear it and see it every day that I'm out there. Yeah. So as we get the message out, I think we'll find more of those niche markets as we move along.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We're going to have some larger products, some larger horsepower. We talked about the 70 Nera. We're going to have some utility tractors, four-wheel drive, that we're going to be introducing next year.
Wow, and that's exciting.
That'll even open up more doors for us. So yeah, we're excited about it.
I guess that is awesome. So now let's switch gears a little bit to agriculture branding and marketing. My first question in this kind of bucket is, why is the tractor blue? There had to have been some sort of decision-making there to choose blue.
Well, that's a question that, to be honest with you, I don't know the answer to exactly, okay. Other than the manufacturer that Steve met with in India. Mm-hmm. That was the color of the tractor that they've been selling this tractor for many years.
Oh, okay.
That's been the color of the tractor. Now, mm-hmm. having said that, Steve liked the color because the ones that he built originally, that if you go back and look some of the older pictures or videos when he was building them, I'm sure there were other colors, but the later ones were a blue color. So
okay.
I guess that was Steve's choice, actually.
Yeah, interesting.
I never really thought about it.
Yeah. And so why is the logo the sun?
Obviously, we are, Select Track is the name, but our tractor can be powered. As I mentioned earlier, we have some of the consumers that are running our tractors solely off of solar energy. And the fact that we are also, as I said, one of our missions is to put a product out there that is great for our environment. And in doing that, that's part of our mission statement. And you know, we want to be able just to have a product that when you see our logo, when you see the sun, when you see all of that, it just puts a smile on your face. And you know, this is a product that's doing work, but at the same time, it's helping preserve our environment.
Nice. I like it. And I like the yellow on blue. It looks really sharp.
Thank you.
Good choices. And over the last 150 years, a very deep brand loyalty has developed on farms, as we all know. It's why we have this show. The color of your tractor really does speak volumes to other farmers, or perceived things about you and your tractor color. Today, there are so many factors influencing brand loyalty that there weren't even 50 years ago, with large manufacturing companies owning opposing colors, farms becoming larger, less focus on the family farm, and fewer decision makers. It really seems that loyalty by color may be going by the wayside, just naturally because of the way that the industry is evolving. What do you think about the future of tractor brand loyalty, and what will it look like as we go into the future?
You know, Chris, that's a very good question, because we all know that if we've been in this industry as you mentioned, through the years, you didn't have to ask someone, what brand tractor do you run? You said, what color tractor?
Yeah.
And you knew. And a lot of that still exists today, quite honestly. But it has changed slightly over the years. And with more tractor manufacturers coming in, you know, to the U.S. Than what we had 50 years ago, obviously, it has made a difference. But there's still going to be that brand loyalty. I think you're going to find that, and we're building, hopefully we're building our brand loyalty. One of the things that we see today, and your generation versus my generation, people are beginning to realize that we have to start protecting this planet. If we're going to make, you know, if we're going to be able to have a place for our children, like I was talking about earlier, and for your children and all, they're going to be able to enjoy it the way that we have. We have to take some steps. I'm not saying that we have to totally do away with everything. No, I don't believe it. I don't see that. But we have to take some steps in that direction to at least cut down on what's happening. And I think your generation realizes that probably more than mine did, and maybe even the one between us. And I think that we're going to see more and more of that as we move along. The EV car is not for everyone. The EV tractor is not for everyone. I understand that. But it's becoming, your generation is the one that's really becoming more and more knowledgeable about what needs to be done and how to protect the environment. I think you'll see more leaning that direction. So it may not be the color of your tractor in the future. It may be more of what type tractor or how your tractor's powered. Is it combustible or is it electric or EV? We want to make a difference. And if we can do that, as I said in the beginning, one tractor at a time, that's our goal. Hopefully by doing that, I don't think we're ever going to replace all those brand names out there that's been here for 150 years. That's not our goal. We just want to be able to make a difference. And I think we can.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And really, I have one last main question for you. And that is, what color is your tractor?
Mine's blue. I was actually on it this morning.
That's blue. Awesome.
I've had many other colors, but I love the one I'm on now.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So where can people find you and learn more about Selectrac and about the company?
Absolutely. Go to www.selectrac.com. You'll see our website. You can go and find the dealer that's closest to you. Look at our products. Contact us with any questions. We'll be happy to answer those. And I really want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given us. I'm not the best speaker by any means. All I can tell you for sure is that I love what I represent today, and I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. And again, thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah,
go check really us out at our website or a local dealer. We have dealers now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And at the end of the day, that's what really matters, right? Yeah. So thank you too. Thank you so much for joining me today, Glenn. What a great conversation. And I think everybody's learned a lot about this new tractor and lots of great information.
Good. I've enjoyed it.
And thanks to all who are listening. If you want to learn more, the links are provided in the show notes. Don't forget to subscribe to What Color Is Your Tractor on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Sign up at northamericanag.com or whatcolorisyourtractor.com to have the latest episode delivered directly to your inbox. And have a great day.
Thank you.